If you'll join me in an attitude of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So, the funny thing about having to print bulletins towards and plan them towards the beginning of the week is that by the end of the week, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said, maybe you want to look at this scripture instead of that one. So while I just read the Daniel scripture, I'm going to really focus on Psalm 16 today for my sermon. And I wanted to read it again just one more time. This time I'm going to read it from the Common English Bible. It is a translation that is meant to be heard and read at a seventh grade level using English that we're familiar with while still keeping the scholarly research and context that has been done throughout the years. Psalm 16. Protect me, God, because I take refuge in you. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have nothing good. Now, as for the holy ones in the land, the magnificent ones that I was so happy about, let their suffering increase because they hurried after a different God. I won't participate in their blood offerings. I won't let their names cross my lips. You, Lord, are my portion, my cup. You control my destiny. The property lines have fallen beautifully for me. Yes, I have a lovely home. I will bless the Lord who advises me even at night. I am instructed in the depths of my mind. I always put the Lord in front of me. I will not stumble because he is on my right side. That's why my heart celebrates and my mood is joyous. Yes, my whole body will rest in safety because you won't abandon my life to the grave. You won't let your faithful follower see the pit. You teach me the way of life. In your presence is total celebration. Beautiful things are always in your right hand. The Word of God. Now, there's all kinds of different psalms out there, lament, psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms read by an individual, and psalms read by a community. This psalm today is known as entrance liturgy. It's a psalm that would have been said at the beginning of a community event, a worship service. The psalmist wrote this one about trust in uncertain times. Much like maybe some are feeling now, whether it's with our nation, with our community, or right here in church. But the psalmist takes refuge in God. The psalmist trusts in God with all their heart and soul and mind. Their life derives from God. Everything they have comes from God and depends on God. We live in uncertain times. There's fear that dominates the news. We live in a self-centered context where it's more about my rights than the rights of a community or the rights of those who are less fortunate than I. Corporations care more about making money than taking care of their workers. And yet, we come together here in a community because we love and we trust in God. And we look to the psalmist when we have that fear and we're not quite sure. We look to that psalmist to remind us of that trust. The Reverend Clint McCann, who is a psalmist expert and was actually one of my professors at Eden, wrote about Psalm 16 and asked these questions, and I ask them to you today. What difference might it make if we entertain the conviction that life is not something we achieve, but something rather we receive as a gift from God? What difference does it make if we view the life-sustaining resources of food and housing and friendship and anything else we need to survive? If we view those as gifts from God, as something not that we have earned through hard work, but as evidence of God's goodness. On this day of, as we start to celebrate Thanksgiving, when you turn around the psalm and look at it from a sense of humility and see God's love and everything we have in this world as a gift of God and evidence of God's goodness, whether we do bad or good. Suddenly, hopefully, maybe we feel a little bit more a little more hubris, a little more gratitude. Thanksgiving is just as much about giving thanks as it is giving back for what we have received. Giving back because we're grateful that we have been given so much. And stewardship is kind of the same way. Stewardship is a chance to ask these questions that Clint put forward. It's a chance to look at what we have as a gift from God as something that should then be returned to God. It's not just about giving the money, though the money helps, but rather stewardship is a lifelong spiritual discipline, something that we practice in response to the abundant relationship God has offered us, something we practice because we know that God's love is permanent. Stewardship is something we live, not just something we give or do at one time. Rather, it starts with God calling us into relationship, calling us to trust that relationship, and flows into God asking us to then share that relationship with others. Stewardship is important to be done in a community because not only are we supposed to trust that God has given us these gifts, but because of our relationship, we give back and we expand the community. Keeley wrote in her letter, "What shall we bring?" Whether or not you're able to give financially, remember to share your time and talents. These two are gifts given from God and are just as important. Talents, whether we give back with talents or time, when we give them in an attitude of gratefulness for the gift that we have been given God, we honor that relationship. We honor that trust that God has shared with us. It's not just about the money, but sometimes it's about being open to change, to new ideas, to new people who maybe don't look like us or act like us. It comes, gratefulness and stewardship come with trusting God and trusting what God is calling us to do in ministry. I can say of so many stories I've heard of churches that they took a risk. Maybe the money wasn't there, but they took a risk to do the ministry in the community, to share God's love. They trusted God would lead them to do God's will. And grants appeared, and the money appeared, And as hard as that is sometimes, even for me personally, to say, just trust God, the money will show, the ministry will happen, because God's love is present and powerful, it's hard, especially on a day-to-day. And so we go back to Psalm 16. We remember to be content with God, to be in relationship with God. We read Psalm 16 to get confidence to then go out and speak God's word, to speak against the worldly powers and consciousness that says it's all about our individual self. The future is in God's hands. We trust in that future. The future is in God's hands, not for us to fear, but for us to work towards, to transform old broken systems, to transform injustice. And in the midst of maybe what seems like the end times of Daniel and our Mark readings, to trust in the resurrection, to trust that God's love and will and God's kingdom can happen here on earth. Rachel Keefe, in writing more about Mark, but talking about how there's destruction and wondering where is the hope, reminds us that when human beings work together in trust in God's love, when we begin to recognize the value of relationships rather than buildings, the power hidden in the buildings of faith community, keyword community, will increase. When we pursue peace with the same fierceness with which we have pursued war, all people and all nations will know justice. When we put the health of our planet before wealth and convenience, the aftermath of the earthquakes and fires and famines will be less devastating. We have the knowledge and the power to do God's work and will, and to create God's kingdom here on earth. When we do this, when we put aside our destructive ways, we embody the vision that Jesus taught us, God's vision of love for the whole creation, and we put out hope that transforms the world. What shall we bring? We bring hope, confidence, and trust in God's love to share with one another. May it be so.